Dear congregation and visitors, it is a great privilege for us to witness this afternoon the sacrament of holy baptism. And the reason it is such a great privilege is that the sacraments are given to strengthen and confirm the faith of God's people. They're outward signs of God's covenant faithfulness, outward signs of things worked inwardly in the hearts of God's people. By baptism, these little children will already be set apart by God Himself to serve Him, set apart receiving the sign of the covenant of grace. But baptism is never administered apart from the preaching of God's Word. Also this afternoon, we're first going to hear the preaching of the Word before the sacrament is administered. And the purpose for that is that through the preaching of God's Word, our eyes and our hearts are directed to Christ Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ, of whom on this day we commemorate that He rose from the dead. I ask your attention this afternoon for God's Word from the chapter we read together, 2 John, verse 4. 2 John, verse 4. I rejoiced greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. The theme is children walking in truth. First of all, the elder's joy. And secondly, the Father's commandment. Children walking in truth, the elder's joy, and the Father's commandment. The elder who is writing this letter is Elder John. And he's an elder in the church of Ephesus. He's the Apostle John, the disciple John, whom Jesus loved. And he has written this letter to a person he calls the elect lady and her children. So, it's this person or this group of persons are people who John knows as God's chosen ones. It could be a particular family that Elder John knows. Another possibility is that he's referring to a congregation. And I believe it is a congregation. In verse 13, he says, the children of thy elect sister greet thee. And that is, I believe, referring to a sister congregation, the church of Ephesus, greeting this church in this other place where the elect lady is with her children. Well, Elder John says, I rejoice greatly. And when an elder, inspired by the Holy Spirit, has recorded on the pages of Scripture, I rejoice greatly, our question should be, about what? What is it that causes this godly man, this servant of the Lord, to rejoice? I rejoice greatly, he says. He says the same thing in the third letter. In chapter 1, verse 3, I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in truth. And so we hear there already that Elder John's great rejoicing is somehow connected with truth. Truth means everything to him. You see it in the opening verses of this letter. Verse 1, the elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth. And not I only, but also they that have known the truth. For the truth's sake which dwells in us and shall be with us forever, grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. So when Elder John says, I rejoice greatly, we know it's going to be connected with truth. And he says, I rejoice greatly because I found of thy children walking in truth. We knew it, that it would be with truth. Somehow, Elder John has learned something. He has found out something about the children of this particular congregation. We're not told how he found out, whether people are talking about them, of their faith, or of their walk of life, or whether he has been visiting, or whether they visited him in Ephesus. We're not sure. But he found out that some of her children are walking in truth. I found of thy children. It doesn't say I found all of thy children walking in truth, but I found of thy children, and that we need to think of that as some of thy children. Now it could be that these are the children that John knows, and the ones he knows are walking in truth. There could be some other ones. It could also be that he knows more of them, and some of them are not walking in truth. But the reason he is rejoicing greatly is that he found some of her children walking in truth. And children, when you hear the word walking this afternoon, then don't think of walking as we came into this building, putting one foot in front of the other. It's not what the word walking here means, but think of your whole life, going from your birth to the end of your life, and think of that as a journey, a trail that you have to walk from beginning to end. You must walk that trail. And to walk in truth now means to walk your whole walk of life, your lifestyle, your whole conduct toward God and towards people. And the life that Elder John saw in these children was they are walking in truth. And even though there may be very little young children here this afternoon, if you are old enough to understand the words that I'm saying to you, then you're old enough to know whether you are walking in truth. And if our little children can understand it, then the parents can too, and the grandparents, and the great-grandparents. It really applies to all. Walking in truth. Not just having the truth. Not just knowing the truth. Not just staying with the truth. But walking in truth. Living a life in truth. That's kind of a strange saying, isn't it? Walking in truth. Does that mean? What does Scripture say about truth? The Lord Jesus said in John 17, verse 17, to his Father in heaven, your word is truth. So walking in truth means walking according to the word of God. Walking according to the truth of Holy Scripture, walking and living the way the Bible says I must live. It means believing this truth, believing what the Bible says about everything, and that everything it says is absolute truth. Believing also what the Bible says about people, about all people, including me. And what does the Bible say about all people, including me? Romans 3, verse 10. There is none righteous. No, not one. There is none that does good. No, not one. Romans 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Walking in truth, part of that means to believe this. This is true of me. It's true of you. How bad is it with us? Well, Jesus says to Nicodemus, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. That's true for every human being. Unless you are born again, you cannot see God, nor His kingdom. And walking in truth means confessing that this is true about me. I am no better than, think of the worst person you could possibly think of. Adolf Hitler, Osama bin Laden, I am no better than he is, because if I am not born again, I cannot see God's kingdom. If he's not born again, he cannot see God's kingdom. We are the same. Where does that come from then? How are we going to be born again? Well, Peter says in 1 Peter 1 verse 23, being born again by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. So walking in truth is connected with the truth of the word of God, resulting of being born again. And it's never disconnected from the Lord Jesus Christ. Because also, when we consider walking in truth, we have to consider what Jesus said in John 14, verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. That is one of the names of the Lord Jesus, the truth. And walking in truth means walking in connection with Jesus. Living a lifestyle, having a whole conduct of life connected with Jesus. And children walking in truth know I need Jesus. They know this. Why do they need Jesus? Because they believe what the Word of God says. That I am lost. I am lost without Jesus. And that Word of God says, the Son of Man, that is Jesus, is come to seek and to save that which is lost. And so walking in truth means that I know that without faith in Christ Jesus, I am condemned. I cannot live. I cannot walk. And that brings the next question. Where am I going to get this faith from then? If I'm to believe in Jesus Christ, where is that faith coming from? Am I going to somehow work it up from inside here? That spark of goodness that is within me, there is no such thing. It doesn't exist. No, but Scripture tells us where that comes from. It says in Hebrews 12 verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We receive faith in Christ by looking to Christ, by looking to this Jesus. That same Jesus in his very first sermon in this world said, repent ye and believe the gospel. And a child walking in truth says, how do I go about repenting? What am I going to do? Where is that going to come from? And then he reads in Scripture and he believes what it says, that God exalted Jesus with his right hand to be a prince and a savior to give repentance and the forgiveness of sins. So walking in truth means looking to Jesus for the faith that I lack and for the repentance that I need. Walking in truth, one aspect of it is that you say from the emptiness of your heart, give me Jesus or else I'm going to perish. Give me Jesus. I need this Jesus. Walking in truth means abiding in the doctrine of Christ. You see it here in verse 9. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. But he that abides in the doctrine of Christ, he has both the Father and the Son. And that's simply a way of saying he is saved. Saved through Christ Jesus. What else does Scripture say about truth? Yes, the truth of the Word of God. Yes, Jesus Christ who says, I am the truth. What else? 1 John 5 verse 6. The Holy Spirit is truth. So walking in truth means walking in the light and the power of the Holy Spirit of God. and needing this Holy Spirit to make me sincerely willing and ready to live unto God, to walk in truth. Walking in truth, I rejoice greatly, says John, that I found of thy children, walking in truth, believing the scriptures, walking according to the truth they know from the scripture, using the scriptures, like it says in Psalm 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Walking in truth means knowing yourself in the light of Scripture, and knowing God and knowing the Lord Jesus Christ from Scripture. Knowing that in yourself you are hopeless and helpless and graceless. Knowing that it is appointed unto men, unto you, once to die and after that the judgment. And knowing that in yourself you cannot appear before God's judgment seat. You can't stand there knowing that you need the blood of Jesus to cleanse you from all your sins. I rejoiced greatly that I found of your children walking in truth, says Elder John. And he's very specific. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth as we have received a commandment from the Father. That's our second thought. The Father's commandments. You read a little further on in verse 5 and 6. Now I beseech you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love each other. And this is love. That we walk after his commandment. This is the commandment that, as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. Walking in truth is walking after the Father's commandments. And the Lord Jesus Christ was asked one time by a very smart lawyer, Master, what is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And here John says, here is the commandment of the Father, that we love each other. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments, walking in truth, walking after his commandments. This is love. That's why Jesus says too, if you love me, you will be keeping my commandments. Remember the Father's commandment that we love each other. And then John is rejoicing because he sees this is happening. He sees children striving to obey out of love for this Jesus whom they have come to know through the Holy Scriptures. Fighting against disobedience and unwillingness and fighting against sin. And he sees them, he hears them, and their desire is to give glory to God and to give honor to Jesus. And then he says, I rejoice greatly when I find these things. And children, when your parents and the office bearers and your pastor and your teacher see that in your whole conduct of life, that causes us to rejoice greatly, exceedingly. When we in our consistory meetings have the reports from family visitations and we read of children walking in truth, we rejoice greatly. Oh, many parents rejoice greatly about many things in their children, but there is nothing that compares to the joy of a parent or the joy of an elder, than this joy, to see of your children walking in truth. And parents, if you are not rejoicing, if that doesn't make you rejoice to see your children walking in truth, and if you're not sorrowing greatly when you maybe see some of your children walking in untruth, well, then you need to You need to examine yourself to see whether you yourself are walking in truth or not. Because for godly parents, there is no other source of joy that can compare to this. I rejoiced greatly that I found of your children walking in truth. That means also walking according to covenant truth of baptism. Our children have the sign and seal of the covenant of grace, of the washing away of sin through the blood of Christ, the lasting token of God's covenant faithfulness. God says, I will be your God, you shall be my people. And children walking in truth, believe this. Yes, this God is my God. And I am his people. And I love this God. And I love this Jesus. And I do love other people. Why is it that Elder John rejoices so greatly about this? But see, Elder John is one of those people himself who know the grace of God in his own life. And when you have that, when you know that in your own life, in your own heart, you want it for everybody. You want everybody to have that. You want it for your own children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, other people's children. And you are so happy. So happy when you see the evidence of it in your children's lives, when you see them walking in truth. And you are so sad, so grieved when you see evidence of just the opposite. You see, just the opposite. Instead of loving each other, which is the commandment here, you see children hating each other, backbiting, stabbing, as it were, each other in the back. That's not walking in truth. Then you're so sad when your children are never sorrowful about sin in their lives. And they never show love for the Word of God, or for the God of the Word, or for the Lord Jesus. That gives you the greatest sorrow when your children are careless about spiritual matters, that they really don't care if they love this Jesus or not. Are there such children here this afternoon, and parents who have to bear that grief? Look to Jesus Christ. He is the foundation. He is the hope. He is the one of whose merits we plead. He is the one who has sealed the covenant with his precious blood. And I pray that you may rejoice. Like one father I know recently, who got an email from his son. Dad, it said, you should listen to this sermon. And there was the link to the website where that sermon was. You should listen to it. I listened to it too, and it was such a blessing. See, then that father rejoiced greatly when he found out that his children walking in truth. May I ask you this afternoon, children, would Elder John, who wrote this letter, would he rejoice greatly over you? If he were writing this letter to your mom and dad about you, would he say that in this letter? Dear mom and dad, I rejoice greatly that I found of your children walking in truth. Oh, you need to know if you are walking in truth or no. Are you? Are you walking in God's truth? Or the opposite is walking in Satan's lie. And Satan's lie to little children is, don't worry. You don't have to worry about heaven and hell and God and Jesus and sin. You're way too young to be bothering your little head about that. Don't worry, wait till later. You're too young to think about dying. That's Satan's lie. That's not Jesus' truth. Satan's lie to teenagers is, party on. You got lots of time. Wait till you're 80. Then begin walking in truth. Later on, you can be serious. But I tell you, there is no later on. I have seen teenagers in coffins. Teenagers who were not walking in truth and who died unprepared to meet this God. That causes great sorrow to the people of God. But we rejoice greatly. Parents, we are called to bring up our children in this sacred truth. We look at these little infants in a little while, and they seem so innocent, so beautiful and perfect. But they're not. They're sinners. Because you are sinners. Those little children need Christ's blood like you do. Let's think as a congregation, as a covenant community, think about 10 years from now. And let's think if 10 years from now, Elder John is going to write a letter to this congregation. The same kind of letter. Will he be able to write the same things? Dear congregation, I rejoice greatly that I found of your children walking in truth. Will they know truth? Because we taught it to them, parents, and everybody else here, including the office bearers. Will they know truth? The Word of God? The God of the Word? The Lord Jesus Christ, our vows today, not only as parents, but as congregation, is to bring them up in the doctrine of the Old and the New Testaments. Bring them up in truth. And that means to impress on our little children and on our teenagers a love for truth of the Word of God. Let's never be satisfied as parents and as a church family just to have the truth. Or just to stay with the truth, whatever that means. But let's not rest until we could write this letter too. I rejoiced greatly that I found your children walking in truth. Amen.